バイ。
GM. Welcome to the first episode of Market Muse. I'm going to be covering three topics today, on-chain versus IPFS. So this has recently been making the rounds due to Elon Musk and his comments on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast. I'm going to be diving into the Avant Art rankings, which, you know, we're about halfway through, and which ones are my favorite so far. Lastly, I'm going to get into the Simpsons episode that just came out this past weekend. Some people view it as a positive thing. Others view it as a negative thing. So I'll be going over my thoughts around that. And I'm going to jump into some recent prices and sales and just what's going on in the market as a whole. So thanks again for tuning in. I appreciate your time. And yeah, let's jump in. All right. So on-chain versus IPFS. What does that all mean? So I'm going to try and keep it pretty light on the technical bits, but hopefully I am able to explain this in a more eloquent way so you guys are able to follow along. So for those of you that watch or listen to the Joe Rogan Experience, Elon basically had a comment around how currently NFTs right now as a whole, it's basically a JPEG URL in the blockchain that gets minted, which then points to a decentralized platform called IPFS. And then from there, he sort of makes a statement towards supporting on-chain art. There are many flavors of on-chain art for those not familiar. So we have the SVG format. SVG is a type of image that gets actually loaded. It's a really flexible type of format for images, really small. You can make them really big. So, I mean, pretty much when it gets minted on chain, you pay per the size of the block. ETH is pretty dynamic in that end. So if gas is really expensive, then you have to pay a really high gas price to mint that image. Another method of this is the Base64 method. So this is basically grabbing the image itself and pretty much putting it down to like ones and zeros, and then it gets reconstructed on chain. So it's kind of like a recipe book on how to build back that image. That's another method. Another method would be kind of the art blocks method, which would be sort of like the IPFS, but it leverages another system called P5 JS. And so basically it gets built on demand on chain. So it's a combination of things. And there's a bunch of other flavors of this as well. Definitely not an expert on all the different flavors of on chain, but I'll link kind of an article that I read that was really interesting on describing all the different types of on-chains, and there's different flavors and there's pros and cons to every single one of them. So on-chain art is definitely much a thing, and we'll kind of go into a little bit more about what's going on in the space. For those that read my newsletter or have watched previous videos or talked to me, I like on-chain art. I am a little bit of an on-chain maxi, but I recently had a conversation over at the Click server with Pindar. So Pindar Van Armen is way more technical than I am, of course. He's a super rare artist that does bike GANs and has some on-chain gender of art as well. So he is definitely way more technical than I am, but I am kind of able to follow along a little bit with some of the stuff that he said. And I've kind of come to realize that maybe the way that I was thinking of it before, you know, I was able to learn a little bit more and kind of think about the other side of the argument a little bit more. So Elon obviously said that if IPFS goes down, then your JPEGs are gone. And that's partially true. And it also kind of was a little bit insinuating that, like, you know, it's pointing towards an image in some other server. And then, you know, there's kind of like provenance and coming to question whether whether the image that you even have is actually yours or all that. So what's interesting about IPFS and how it works is that it basically, when you upload an image to, when an image gets uploaded into IPFS or a decentralized protocol for images, essentially when you upload that image, a unique hash is created for it. And it's very, I mean, blockchain is cryptographic like advancement. So we've gotten really good at this and we're getting better at it. And we're learning on how to, we can use these unique hashes to do really sophisticated things. And IPFS is one of those things as well. So if you change the pixel of one image, it would actually produce a different hash. If you did this for text, you can imagine just switching, like just changing the period to something, the hash would be completely different. So this is how IPFS, on top of having the URL and the image itself, it also assigns it a unique hash, which then gets put into the blockchain, which shows, you know, like, are you the original owner? Is this the original image? Is this the exact image? Because any changes to the image itself would give it a different hash. So even if someone can right click save and upload a new, the same NFT, it would have a different cryptographic hash as well. So this is kind of how we can prove that the right image and token are together and associated. So pretty impressive stuff how IPFS works. So if we take a step back on this argument of, well, what happens if IPFS goes down? So Pindar basically said that he has a backup, a node, like an ETH node of all the images and their hashes. And so even if IPFS went down, his images will kind of live on through the blockchain in some kind of way. So it would basically, you could point it into a new URL, you could point it into a new direction if you needed to for marketplaces. It's kind of like how when Hen and a couple of other of those Tezos blockchain marketplaces went away, it's how your NFTs continue to exist really in the new marketplaces that are coming out. Is basically you just repin those into a different service, or and then everything's like you're cooking with gas at that point. So obviously Pindar is a more technically savvy artist. Not every artist has this kind of capability. Not even just artists. You know, I have a home server and I run a bunch of software that I manage myself. And not everyone wants to manage nodes or manage this, but what's interesting is that because the hash is just text files, really the overhead on what's going on technology-wise, it would be pretty low. You could, if all you're kind of hosting is just images with text files and you know, just text for the hashes, really, you could kind of spin this up pretty quickly, I'd say. I am kind of curious to know if there's any ways to kind of deploy a IPFS or some kind of chain to make this easier for everyone. So in the Bitcoin community, for example, you know, we have, you can really get like a Raspberry Pi and have the whole Bitcoin blockchain running through a Raspberry Pi and through an SSD. So like the entryway for you to be able to have that data and host that data and partake and kind of continue making the blockchain decentralized and making it resilient against just, you know, one system or one thing kind of failing is really easy, or it's starting to get really easy. So I'm hoping to see something very similar to kind of with ETH. So I know, like, if you wanted to stake ETH, for example, you would need 32 ETH, but it, you know, with Rocket Pool and a couple other tools, you're able to bring that barrier of entry a lot lower. Also, you're able to kind of make it easier to maintain a node kind of up. So same thing for IPFS. I wonder if, you know, we can do something similar as a community to make this easier. Like with my Bitcoin node, for example, I'm able to click a button. It updates itself. It does its own thing. It's pretty easy. So hopefully, you know, more technically people or people that are coders can kind of come up with some kind of way to make it easier. And, you know, we don't have to really worry about this as much. Pindar did also make a comment about how, going back to my earlier point where the overhead on this would be, you could essentially do this with, as a one-man team or maybe a two-man team. So it sounds like the overhead, as storage becomes cheaper too, so like I'm able to now buy like 4 terabyte SSDs for like sub $500. If you go with the HDDs, you could even get cheaper. So I think as storage becomes cheaper, you know, this might be a moot point at that stage. You know, like IPFS going down, sure, but we could spin up a node very quickly and have all of our NFTs kind of protected. Another tool that's out there is Club NFT. This is exactly what they're doing. They're basically creating a backup of your images or your NFTs. So pretty awesome stuff. They charge a fee because it's all hosted versus you self-hosting it. So definitely give them a go, check them out. Let them know Gramajo sent you. There's no affiliates or anything. But yeah, you know, if you really care about your NFTs, this discussion about on-chain and IPFS and all that and all the different flavors, you know, it might be too technical. People might not care, but it does seem that my previous take of, you know, I prefer on-chain NFTs over IPFS ones sounds like it's kind of moot, you know, for the regular Joe kind of person. There's ways to validate that you own the image and the backups are there and all that. So whatever makes ETH more resilient to these kind of things, hey, I'm all for it. Continuing with this on-chain and IPFS and kind of where we're going with all this. OXDI did basically release some tools like with Manifold to create on-chain art. The barrier now for artists or anyone really to create on-chain art is a lot lower. It used to be like you needed to be able to write your own smart contract and do, you know, it required a little bit more thinking or workaround, or it wasn't as straightforward. And now it's a lot easier thanks to the work of Manifold and OX did. So really great work. What this is kind of leading to is that Jack Kaido recently just gave us a little bit of a tease on a piece of on-chain art. I don't know if Jack Kaido on-chain is going to be a thing coming soon to you, but, you know, would be pretty awesome. I personally have goals of mine. I have a project that I was kind of working on earlier that would have really made sense for it to have been on chain. And I've only minted one or two pieces, I think, for it. So I might just redo those and try and see if I can make them on chain or make the rest of the collection on chain. But yeah, I think we're, you know, to the detractors or to Elon or whatever, to everyone out there, I think the issue is sort of overblown a little bit. I think that, you know, it's up to you whether you want to just buy on-chain art or not, or if you want to continue buying Artweave or IPFS art. You know, just be aware of there are limitations to on-chain, so like size limitations. Also, costs a ton of money to move because the file is in the block size, and the block size is determined on gas. So, you know, when you want to sell something, it costs a little bit more depending on gas. So there's pros and cons to everything, obviously. So make, you know, make your own determination on what you think. But I do think it is a little bit overblown. And, you know, it's exciting to see with the tools that we now have our disposal as artists, you know, kind of, and I barely consider myself an artist, but it does seem like the future is bright in terms of our choices and what we want to do. And maybe it's the next meta as well. I've seen a tweet about that, how the next meta in a couple months from now will be is on-chain artists, and everyone's going to try and be an on-chain artist and all that. So who knows, you know, it's kind of like a jest, but, you know, people are able to do whatever it is that they want. So the current meta right now is doing physicals. So if you want to do physicals, you know, it's up to you. Don't let people dissuade you from doing one thing or another. Just create and do your thing. Up next is want to talk about the Avant Art ranking so far. So currently there's about, you know, for those unfamiliar, Cosimo Medici and the Avant Arte. I say Arte because it's Spanish, but Avant Art for English speakers. You know, they have a collaboration. They're trying to bring 7 artists to do physicals and NFTs, and we're a little over halfway on this. So we have 4 pieces that we have seen. The Jake Fried piece, the Jake Fried piece is this first one right here, this black and white one. The most recent one, the Alpha Centauri piece, which is it glitches in real life. The Rip Cash security piece and the Luis Ponce piece here, which also uses ultraviolet pigments and all that. And then we still have Let's Glitch, Monica Rizzoli and William Pond pieces still to be released. But, you know, I figured I'd take the time to appreciate kind of what we have so far and try and figure out what which ones I like the most, you know. You can let me know in the comments or shoot me a message on Twitter. Let me know, you know, what your orders are for now and which ones you like. So I think for me personally, I think the ones that I'm a big Alpha Centauri fan. I have a Alpha Centauri print that I got recently, a coral skull that I'm getting framed currently right now. I personally really like this Alpha Centauri piece. I would probably put it as my number one for now. We'll see kind of where the other pieces go. There's 3 more to go, so we'll see. Things could change, but I'm feeling pretty strongly about this Alpha Centauri piece as my number one out of the 7. Kind of the things I like about it is I like the story behind about the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy. I like that it glitches. And kind of what it stands for, and it's just a great looking piece to look at. And I think with the glitch aspect of it, you know, I think it'll be really cool to hang it up. It also is sort of inviting to like put your own opinion into it. So, you know, like it's either going to get people to be like, what the hell is this? I don't like it. Or people are going to like feel it right off the bat. So, you know, it really forces the person that's watching it or looking at it to think about it. So, and to me, that's what art is. You know, it pushes us to think in certain ways or feel in certain ways. And this piece does that to me right off the bat. For the next one, I would say, I really like the Jake Fried piece as probably my number 2. Also, it's a lenticular piece as well, so it kind of glitches as well. I think Jake, like, this is like a piece I would say that probably wouldn't offend as many people on your wall. This or maybe the Rip Cash piece. It's black and white, so it can go in any home, really. It's a pretty cool piece too, just to look at, you know, like it makes you want to get close to see the details. And Jake's just like super talented individual. All these people are really talented individual, but I'm not trying to knock on one or the other, but you could see the level of detail that's in this piece. It's lenticular as well. It's three eyes. So one's a zoomed in version with the flower, and then one's the bigger one, and one's kind of like the one that's out in outer space, the one in the bottom. So yeah, I don't know. This is a really awesome piece. This is one that I really wanted. I might try and make a move toward getting it. I thought this would go really well on my walls as well. I thought, it'd be wife approved at this point, because it's a pretty dope piece. So I would say the Jake Fried one is probably my second favorite one so far. Between the Rip Cash and the Luis Ponce one, I'm a big Rip Cash fan. I don't know specifically where my wife would sit on this one, but I really do like this one. I like, again, going back to the on-chain maxi little vibes that I got going is, this is a part of the collection that's on-chain for Rip Cash. I like what Rip Cash is doing. I do like that it's a scratcher, so the NFT isn't automatically given to you. You would have to make the determination whether you want to scratch where the little triangle is and be able to get the NFT associated with it. We recently had two sales of this. I think it was like a 2.4 went to BBA and a 3.2 just went this past like 2 days ago or something like that. If you want to get that kind of information, subscribe to my newsletter. I send a weekly newsletter on Mondays, and I did cover some of that. So a little bit of repeat information for the readers. But I do like the Rip Cash. It's not to say I don't like the Luis Ponce one. I like Luis Ponce. Luis Ponce has been doing some really awesome work, especially in the physical side. So he had that crazy table that I think sold for like 50-60K USD like a year ago or something. I think this one's a little loud for sure. I don't mind loud. Loud is fine with me. I mean, I have a pink skull for God's sake. So this piece is pretty crazy to me. It uses ultraviolet pigments as well. Luis Ponce's art is very distinct. I also do like kind of how it's very it uses Luis Ponce's heritage with inspiration or kind of background and put it into this. So what that means to me is Luis Ponce is Mexican, for those that don't know. The Mexican deities or gods from the Aztec times or from the indigenous times, there's a lot of cultural history there and a lot of stories. And to me, if you've seen my logo for the Weekend Degen, it's pretty much the Aztec god of gambling. I'm not even gonna try and enunciate the name. It's like super complicated, but I see pieces of that, pieces of his identity imparted into this piece of art. So I mean, it's just a dope piece either way. So that's my current power rankings of the Avant Art drops that we have. Let me know kind of where they stand for you in the comments. And yeah, like I said, we still have three more, so let's see what happens. All right, rounding out the corner, the Simpsons episode. So for the Simpsons episode, some people were feeling bullish about it. Some people were feeling like it was more like of a disrespect or a diss towards the NFT space. I think I'm going to go with it was kind of like a diss a little bit to the NFT space. What kind of cracked me up about the episode was it gave me Honey, I Shrunk the Kids kind of vibes. If you're old enough to remember that, if you're a boomer like me, it gave me that vibe. So like Homer basically made Bart into an NFT, and it was kind of poking fun of that. I did also get a lot of like undertones of digital art is a scam and a lot of non-talented people are making money. I mean, you could say that about regular art as well, like with physical art. So, partially true. There's some humor in truths or half truths. So that was definitely one of them. And then I also got kind of vibes of like the blockchain and digital art will make in real life museums or galleries, null and also physical art. It's just going to go by the wayside. I mean, as you guys know from the current trend, physical art is still very much a predominant thing in digital art space or NFTs. So I don't know, you know, I guess if you're of the school of, you know, bad, any press is good press, even if it's bad press, I guess this is good press. But to me, it was like, I don't know. It was talking smack about, you know, the digital art space, and it's easy to, you know, talk shit when it's like 90% down, I guess. But, you know, everything's down to me. So I don't know. It was fine. I wouldn't get like hyped and go buy, you know, those Simpsons NFTs that aren't even official NFTs. So, yeah. So some recent prices and recent sales. So just in the last couple 24 hours, we had a 600 ETH CryptoPunks sale, and CryptoPunks are actually just rallying. Shout out BCheck for kind of getting Gordon Gonner to throw a comment from this. So it sounds like Gordon Gonner, he's a big Bored Ape Yacht Club kind of person, and CryptoPunks and Meebits and a couple of the other assets are all part of the Yuga Labs umbrella. So it looks like they were able to get the ETH to get this pretty awesome, good looking San Francisco hipster Bored Ape. So really good, nice looking piece. 600 ETH. Congrats to Gordon Gonner. We also had a recent sale in the last 48 hours from like the newsletter to now of this Fidenza that sold for 100 ETH. It was for 189,000 USD. So yeah, it looks like the market is picking back up. We'll see if it continues based on some of the recent tweets that I've been seeing from NFT Stats, where, you know, most people have 3 to 5 wallets. It looks like that unique wallet measurement that we're doing might not be a great measurement. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we're back. I don't know if we're back. But yeah, thanks again for tuning episode 1. And yeah, take care.